and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Righty, welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal. Why do I say that? Because it's Friday. Yeah.
Fugle saying.
Good morning, children, from Steph East, where fall has begun.
Has it really?
Love fall in New York.
One day.
Love it.
We woke up yesterday morning. It was hot. Last night, it was as cold as a motherly love of Barbara Bush.
Oh.
Cold.
Oh, that is freezing. Yikes.
It is cold now.
Yes. It's going to chill up my spine just then. Huh. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Steph. I'm being attacked by Westboro Baptist Church on Twitter all week.
Awesome.
I was at Ground Zero on Sunday, and I posted some photos of their horrible, horrible demonstration, which was especially evil. It was all about thank God for 9/11 FDNY or fags, and I was photographing the cops having to guard them. And I put them on Twitter, and now suddenly they're attacking me on Twitter.
Not since your Twitter fight with Andrew Breitbart have I so enjoyed one of your Twitter fights.
Fascinating. No one can
pick a Twitter fight like John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even mean to pick it, and now here they're after me. And
Shirley Phelps Roper? Is one of them Shirley Phelps Roper?
I can give you all their names. It's a bunch of women with Phelps in their middle name.
Yeah, yeah. Shirley
they're
Phelps Roper.
Daughters or sisters or both.
They're like, they're the Christian Waltons on crack. They're
and they're in desperate need of cream rinse.
Oh yeah, and they're like they called me ignorant and hateful, which is like having Rush Limbaugh call you an obese racist junkie.
I bet you they all say. I bet you they all say goodnight to each other like on the Waltons, but then they just blurt out horrible, hateful, homophobic stuff too.
And they're quoting Bible scripture. They're
goodnight,
quoting
Daddy. God hates.
They're quoting Bible scripture at me, which is like having Kesha quote Leonard Cohen lyrics. You know, it's just these people don't get to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, Rebecca has just typed up on the screen, we have Shirley's number.
Oh, man. I'll find out specifically which ones it is.
Should we crank call her and see if she'd like to speak to you?
Well, we called the Phelps guy.
Oh, yeah. We still have that on tape. Sure.
Margie. It's Margie Phelps is the
Margie.
One.
Margie.
Sure. Rebecca, give her a call. See if, what's up. See if she wants to talk to John.
They're such fakes, you know. Like, they were protesting at Ground Zero, and the Hate Muslims rally was right across from the Hate Gays rally.
Oh,
they were
dear.
On the same corner.
I hate when you get your hate and my hate.
So Pam Geller was across the street from...
Atlas Jones.
Pam Geller was across the street, and I have photos of all of this on my Twitter and my Facebook, but it was amazing because there was nobody for Westboro. They were so isolated, there was nobody even walking by them, and they were having these evil, evil signs about the firemen in hell and thanking God for 9/11, and no one was there. And then the cops finally came, and it was time to start the Hate Muslims rally. They all just pulled off their shirts, they folded up their signs, and within 1 minute, they were just normal pedestrians walking through the street. They are commandos. Mm-hmm. They do this for money. They do this to get sued and to have lawsuits under the First Amendment.
And now the rest of the world is waking up to what gays have gone through for the past 20 years with this church.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Exactly. Mm. And it's great, because I think
it's
doing
nice
a great
they've expanded
public
service. Their hate, though. It's nice to be open-minded in your closed-mindedness. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
at least they're
saying,
starting to hate other groups now.
Thank God for 9. When they're saying thank God for 9/11, it's like they are using their kind of homophobia to convince moderate homophobes how wrong they are. Like, they are curing people of homophobia because your average right winger doesn't want to be on the same side as them. They're doing more good than harm at this point.
You know what the real cure for homophobia and all IAs is?
What?
It's the
What's
Sexy
that?
Liberal Show.
Oh, yeah.
Rise. Salute Queen Segway. Thank you.
Hello.
Mm.
Sexy Liberal.
Smooth.
Uh-huh. Going to Asheville, North Carolina next week. Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook to check out all the upcoming dates. Lizzie writes, Steph, because, you know, people are concerned, John, which is very touching. Steph, the Hub and I have tickets to the San Francisco show. That's, when is it, October 28th and 29th?
That's right.
Yes, and you got to go to the Friday night show because the Saturday night sold out.
Yes. Your Sexy Liberal schedule sounds brutal. Please take care of yourself. But if you die from exhaustion, please die after October 29th. That's very sweet, Lizzie. Thank you. A lot of people expressing concern about my schedule, John, but in particular that I just don't die until their show is done.
Yeah.
Because
they
got, meet and grow.
Yeah.
I'm not expressing these concerns. I like the show.
Yeah, don't die until after at least February 28th when you go to Phoenix.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to have to live a little longer than that, Steph.
I think you got the wrong date for that.
Did I? I just did
25th of February.
You're not authorized to say sexy liberal things.
I'm sorry.
You have nothing to do with that.
I am neither sexy nor liberal, apparently.
Don't blurt out things you don't know nothing about.
25th.
Hmm. How did I? That's pathetic, John, that I didn't have my head somehow knew that was the wrong date in February.
Oh, my God.
Because, as you know, I had nothing on my paper calendar until John Fugelsang came in my life.
Well, I might just be there for that one, because that's my adopted hometown.
All I previously had on my schedule was there were actually two things.
You had spin classes.
No, and, I don't have to put on that, because I know
and
that.
And those meetings you refused to go to.
I had what day? Until Sexy Liberal and John Fugelsang snuck into my house and wrote things on my paper calendar that I'm now obligated to do.
Right.
I only had what day I put cedar side on my dogs, and then what day my little friend came every month, and now that's no longer there. So.
Oh, it died a sad little lonely death.
Thank God for Sexy Liberal. Now, other than flea medication, I have something else on my calendar.
Yes, to fill the hole in your life.
All right. Wow, this one, I got to say, Christina might be possibly a bigger elderly shut-in loser than I am.
What?
Christina writes, I got all you bitches beat. I just bought meet and greet for the Boston show in June 2012.
That hasn't even been announced yet.
Something is seriously wrong with me. Love, Christina in Cambridge.
Awesome.
Good job, Christina.
Wow.
I didn't even know I was doing a show in Boston until I went, what?
Yes, you are. We've got a very, very special. We have one show on sale for, I can't say where, but it's for August of 2012.
Yeah.
Really?
Right before a big event somewhere that some people are doing down south somewhere that we hope to announce very soon.
There are a few.
You know, the funny thing is I never have any idea what he's talking about. I'm always the last to know about everything. I don't really even know where you mean, but okay.
We approve folks out there. We approve all these dates with Steph's. We're not allowed to look Steph in the eye. She has a person to do that for us, and we approve everything with him.
John or Hal or Aisha, they need to turn to the wall when I walk by.
Yes. Yeah, no hydrangeas.
No.
No hydrangeas.
No hydrangeas.
He says no.
And no plastic hangers.
Right. And if you go to sexyliberal.com.
It's hard to do panel with them when they can't look at me. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you looking at me?
Very awkward.
Well, because you're talking to me. Why?
If you go to sexyliberal.com, there are a few surprises that you might find for in 2012.
Really?
There are shows that aren't officially announced
exactly.
yet. Exactly. Only announced online. Yes.
If you go to sexyliberal.com, you'll find
some. This sounds like a together organization, doesn't it? Everything is news to me live on the radio as it happens. I'm like, really?
Oh, then I guess you don't know about the show in Juno.
What? Okay. So, yikes. John Fugelsang, good day for the ecclesiastical MOOC to be here, because you often talk about not just the homophobia, but the death penalty and the things that seem vaguely unchristian. Like, for instance, this just in the U.S. Supreme Court halted the execution of a black man convicted of a double murder in Texas 16 years ago, despite Rick Perry's bloodthirstiness. After his lawyers and said his sentence was unfair because of a question asked about race during his trial, this was the latest case. Mike and Raleigh sent us a little ditty here.
So Governor Perry, question about Texas. Your state has executed 234 death row inmates, more than any other governor in modern times. Have you?
So you're a doctor. You know something about this subject. Young man makes a good living, but decides, I'm not going to spend $200 or $300 a month for health insurance. He needs intensive care. Are you saying the society should just let him die?
Yeah. Live and let die.
Have you struggled to sleep at night?
Live and let die.
No, sir, I've never struggled with that at all.
If you get sick, America, die quickly.
But I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed. Tops.
Thank you, Mike and Molly.
Yay.
Oh, what a capper. George C. Scott.
Yep.
George C. Scott and Strangelove. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the pro some life party kids.
Wow. Yeah, it really has been kind of. Here's what I was just thinking, Ecclesiastical MOOC. Could you take your organ out for us, please, Chris? Thank you. We have to, you know what? I think we have to invite these kids to the Asheville Sexy Liberal. The kids at Liberty University must be Ecclesiastical MOOC fans.
Oh, I
Liberty
hope
University
so.
Students call it unchristian to allow people to die because they lack health insurance. What?
They do?
Huh?
From Jerry Falwell's University.
Yes. Liberty University. It's where my sister and her husband live.
Lynchville.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jerry Falwell.
Lynchburg, not Lynchville.
Good Lord, I'm tired.
My old debate partner,
Jerry Falwell. What date is the Sexy Liberal Lynchville show?
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, a conservative Christian university, yes, founded by Jerry Falwell. The students were unanimous in their disapproval, calling it unchristian to simply allow a person to die because they were uninsured. So
they are right.
Somebody on the right holding up actual Christianity, ecclesiastical MOOC.
You know, we could just have single payer for all and not have these problems anymore and fix our deficit.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of, we heard Alan Grayson in there. Alan Grayson on today's big show.
That's right.
Breaking news I forgot to mention.
Because
I've been saying this, John, how, you know, everybody's shocked, What? How dare he say on the House floor that the Republican health care plan is don't get sick and if you do, die quickly. Was that not a version of that at the Republican debates? Exactly what he said.
Exactamundo, die right away. And Ron Paul, man, it's like sometimes I think he's just running for Old West cattle baron, you know, not president.
Yeah.
But Ron Paul, every time he says something brilliant and sane and truthful, you know there's a big bowl of crazy waiting in the wings.
Along also Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars, one of our personal favorites on the big show, Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategy. So we have a big show, John Fugelsang.
Yeah, Tina wants me so bad. You got to call her off.
I know.
Okay, make her bet. Make her stand.
Well, listen. That's what I do. I'm the only reason I'm at Sexy Liberal. No one actually wants to see me. It's just to beat the chicks off. John Fugelsang.
Oh,
just get in the way. Just I'm like his roller derby blocker. I'm just.
Folks, we do these meet and greets, and all the hot women flock to Hal, and all the damaged Catholics flock to me. And this is consistent across the boards. I am the Mac. I'm the Casanova of damaged papists.
Oh, I have. In fact, take your organ back out there. Oh. Yeah, I save all these. You know, I save ecclesiastical ones for Friday. This woman needs your help. The headline: Catholic mom is scared to leave the house because of all the gays.
What?
Stacy Trensenkos, you may have to make a house call here. You'll be dropping off tickets to Sexy Liberal in Nashville at Liberty University, and then you will be heading up to Massachusetts.
Of all the places.
She's a scientist turned Catholic homemaker in Massachusetts with seven kids who suffers from agoraphobia. Look it up, Michelle Bachman. This is actually real. In a wrenching blog post, she describes how the gruesome spectacle of gay families hanging out at a local public pool has made her afraid to venture outdoors.
Gay families? Oh,
yeah.
God, I hate the gay families. They intimidate me so much.
What sort of unspeakable PDA has she witnessed?
Turn my family gay.
Has she witnessed poolside? One gay couple was engaged in inappropriate elbow rubbing in front of her children. Another lesbian couple was hugging in a way that was clearly not friendly. It was that kind of hugging.
Do you engage in that kind of hugging?
Yes. Check it out. StephanieMiller.com and sexy.com. Pictures from my trip from France. And we'll have a video up on Monday. All right. What do you say about that? So she's teaching her seven children that as well, John Fugelsang.
There is nothing in the Bible that supports her point of view. There is nothing in the Gospels that supports her point of view. She can go to St. Paul, but he was talking about Roman tradition, so there's nothing in the New Testament.
There's
in
no
the
two-chick boob-to-boob hugging, nothing in there?
At no point in the Bible does God ever say anything against women with women.
Yeah. At no point in the Bible do nips touch.
Yeah, well, it's boob-to-boob hugging. That's what she's talking about.
Nothing in the Bible against that. Nothing. In fact, God appreciates the beauty of that, and God supports that. And not just Vivid Video, but God, too. There's
all right.
Nothing in the Bible against women with women.
Sorry, weird already.
Yeah, we're going to get in trouble.
I'm tired. 19 minutes after the hour, we continue. This is only the first segment.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Clearly off the rails, Friday with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
And it feels like home when you call my name.
Stephanie Miller.
It's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there in the midnight hour. I can feel your heart.
Oh, my God.
Becca Taylor, I caught you voguing to Like a Prayer. That's the wrong Madonna dance.
How good was it? I was so good at it. I vogue.
I am not sending you hydrangeas. That was the wrong dance. 25 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang, Rebecca Taylor is here with the update. She called Margie?
No.
Shirley.
Shirley.
Phelps Roper.
Or Cheryl, you know, because we're so tight with her.
Sure, Phelps Roper.
It went straight to voicemail. The voicemail can...
They have voicemail?
They do. They can afford it, which is shocking because they've been sued so many damn times.
Yes.
It went straight to voicemail.
Yes.
And the voicemail condemns us all to hell.
Yep.
And then it says, for press, press one.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Leave us alone, but if you want to talk to us, here's what you press.
Did you leave a message?
Huh?
Did you leave a message or you just...
I just kept calling back because I wanted to get to her directly.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you didn't say this is John Fugelsang's calling?
No.
John Fugelsang from your Twitter fight?
Right.
I'm a Twitter fight with Margie. I'm with Margie Phelps' Twitter fight, not with hers.
So. Oh, you know what? They're all interchangeable, though. They all know what each other's doing.
Yeah. They're all sleeping in the same Greyhound station right now.
And they all have no access to cream rinse, apparently.
They're all horrendous looking.
You know, it's just that they're horrible people. How you can have these signs that they had at this protest at Ground Zero on Sunday and show yourself. It boggles the mind. I mean, I'm just shocked. They know how inflammatory they are. They're doing it just for lawsuits, and that's all.
Yep. So the state of homophobia may not be very good in America, but, you know, somebody pointed out to us yesterday down the caller that racism is actually we're in a better place because we have the black man in the White House and in Sarah Palin, which I don't know if that's true. That could be completely untrue. According to Dad!
By the way, that was
Sarah Palin's husband.
That was our promo yesterday.
Of course it was. I just stole a listener's material.
This is not true. This story is so not true.
That's what Tad says. It's full of disgusting lies, innuendo, and smears. Which one?
Yeah.
Which one's the Glenn Rice one or the her snorting
cocaine off an oil drum?
Off an oil drum. Which, Tad, be more specific. Well, which ones are lies and which ones are true?
Do you want to set it up for the folks at home who don't know the Glenn Rice story?
Oh, she... Glenn Rice, according to this new book. I don't know whether it's true or not.
Back in 87. But the rumor is that she did, but she quit halfway through.
Oh, John Fugelsang, you scampy scamp. Yes. I noticed they said the bread. A rumor is untrue.
Yeah.
But he specifically does not address whether the Glenn Rice and the snorting coke off a giant oil drum rumor is untrue as well.
Is it all
disgusting lies? I'm just saying, is there anything in there?
How do you snort cocaine outside in Alaska in the middle of winter?
More than gum freeze. Booger freeze, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, the Times trashed that book by McGinnis, by the way.
Yeah,
and then I think
really
somebody said that Todd lived at the end of a straw, as it was described to. Also aficionado of the...
Of the cocaine?
Yeah, the Bolivian marching powder.
Allegedly. By the way, your friend Dr. Dan writes, where can I get some tickets to watch some of that boob activity? That's your friend.
Well, you can go to Stephanie Miller Show Facebook for pictures from my trip to France. Or
there's a little boob-on-boob action there.
Yeah, Sexy Liberal Facebook.
Yeah.
All right.
There's some boob-on-boob action. Or just watch The Five on Fox Business and see plenty of boob-on-boob.
Oh, God, that's an awful show.
Yeah, indeed it is. All right. So when we come back, we will talk about a health expert has offered Michelle Bachmann $10,000 if she can provide just one case proving that the HPV vaccine causes
mental retardation. Oh, it's great.
Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Think naming a destructive storm after a woman is sexist, you obviously have never seen
Stephanie Miller.
Hello. There's just nothing but scallywags and ne'er-do-wells on my Facebook page.
Yes.
And riffraff. There's riffraff, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
John writes, kudos to Todd Palin for breaking the myth that once you go black, you never go back.
Here you go. Thank you. And Kristen Yankton writes that Shirley Phelps Roper needs both needs cream rinse and smells like an old rug.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which we don't. I don't have any.
She looks like she would.
We don't have any actual evidence, unless John Fugelsang was close enough to her to confirm that.
I really don't see why you need to drag old rugs into this. They've never done anything to you. And I, on behalf of old rugs, you know, they can't speak up for themselves, so I will. It's not fair to compare an old
John
rug to the Phelps family.
defender of old rugs. Okay.
It's not right, man. It's not fair.
We apologize to old rugs everywhere.
Thank you.
Will in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah,
welcome,
on
Will.
On behalf of the coalition of old rug manufacturers,
yes.
I'd just like to state that I was offended by that last
time.
Yeah,
it's amazing how quickly you were able to call in.
Yeah, thank you. Random thought of the day is, if I hear voices, I'm considered a threat to society, but if I identify them as God, I'm a Republican candidate?
Yes, you can be president. Good job. Very. You're the smartest boy in class. That's correct. By the way, ecclesiastical mook, what did you think of Pat Robertson saying if your wife has Alzheimer's...
Divorce her.
Yeah, that's a loophole. You can skedaddle.
You know, I don't know why people are surprised by any of this. I mean, when you look at Pat Roberts, I mean, it's less offensive than the last 20 things Pat Robertson has said. But, some of us would be willing to obtain Alzheimer's just to forget Pat Robertson. But for those who don't know, on the 700 Club, his show, he came
John
out.
John Louise.
Yes. He came out and said, a guy said, my wife has Alzheimer's. I don't know what to do. And he said, well, Alzheimer's is like a death. So forget those wedding vows. It's okay.
Yes.
This is the guy who was so, Terry Schiavo, you can't pull the plug. But saying that Alzheimer's is like a death.
Yeah.
So again,
yeah. All right. Lynette in Minneapolis. It's John for you. Hi, Lynette.
Oh, hey, John. I just have to tell you this. I'm going to try to make it quick because I know there's not a lot of time. But my friend Frank Conniff is also a friend of yours, and he was on last Friday with you.
Yes, Frank was on for 3 hours with me last Friday.
And I just saw him last night, and we were talking, because he's performing in Minneapolis here, and I just saw him, and we were talking about this, and I said, you guys were so, I loved that you did this. You had that guy Jess call in, who sends it. Does he tweet you awful things? Or?
Well, no, we just decided, we tried a segment called Ask a Right Wing Hate Bot. And so we actually gave him a forum to talk, and it was actually rather entertaining, but ultimately a complete waste of time. But we got some good jokes.
But ultimately empty.
That describes my whole show. Thank you, John. Good job filling in.
Thank you.
But do you remember the interesting thing about that was, okay, there was that point when you asked him if he believed in Jesus, and he said, yes, of course. And then Frank said, well, how can that really be? Because everything you just said about not helping the poor is really not what Jesus stood for. And then he said, well, nobody's going to tell me I'm going to hell.
And
it was like he just kind of revealed the whole hand. See, that as liberals, we always go, how can you believe in this? But see, that's how they do, is they just believe in Jesus because they're going to go to heaven. It's the golden ticket.
But see, this is the essence of fundamentalism. You know, when I was a kid down south, we used to see these billboards that said, Christians aren't better, just saved, which means they're better. And the essence of any fundamentalism, of any religion, isn't that, you know, it's not that I'm better than you. It's that God thinks I'm better than you. And when you believe that you are on the side of God, then you can't be wrong. And anybody who opposes you is representing Satan. So you're not going to sit down with Satan and negotiate school curriculum. Or gay marriage, and this is every
Lynette,
religion across the board.
The one thing we can all agree on is that God thinks Pat Robertson's a bastard.
Yes.
I hope so.
I'm just guessing. All right, let's just spitball.
Thanks for the call.
You're right, thank you. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids?
Huzzah.
Thank you. Monica Crowley and Sean Hannity.
Any other American president with a 10% unemployment rate, Sean, would be flipping his lid. This guy doesn't even break a sweat.
Because
why?
Because he's a rigid ideologue.
I think
he's doubled down on stupid.
I do not think this man is stupid. This is not a big dummy. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Economics has been proven again. Redistribution, that model has failed again. And he believes it so much, he's doubling down on it.
Did he just call the president a stupid head?
Yeah.
I think that's where we've
evolved. Monica Crowley.
To Monica Crowley.
Yeah. I like how the McLaughlin Group brought her in to make the show younger and hipper. Of course, with Sean Hannity, it only counts as redistribution of wealth when you redistribute it to the bottom 98% of the population.
All right. Liz Trotta on the Fox Business.
It absolutely amazes me, and I hate that word, but it does, a true word, meaning of amazement. It really does pose a question of how sane this president. This is exactly what he has been doing all along. The themes are the same. The results are the same. And yet they expect us to jump at what they call a new bill.
Imagine the president trying to do something about jobs. How dare he, John?
Well, now, of course, John Boehner's admitted the president is not a job creator, that the job creators are on strike.
Yes.
Because they want to get rid of the oil subsidies, because you pay more in taxes than ExxonMobil does.
Yeah. We'll get to Boehner's comments later, but what the hell is he talking about? Oh, they're afraid of all this regulation. What? But when did we start over-regulating?
Regulation means not polluting costs us money. Yeah. And that's what that's about. When they're anti-regulation, they're really against anti-pollution control because that hurts profits.
Lack of regulation caused the entire economic mess we are in right now.
Thank you. All right, we pause now for Sexy Liberal Dating Game. Jim in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hi, guys.
Hello, Jim.
Hi.
Hi. I'm in Tallahassee, and I've got two tickets to the show in Asheville next week. I was going to take my daughter, who attends Western Carolina University. She's 19. She kind of decided it wasn't something she was ready for, I guess.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And so I'm looking for a sexy liberal lady that's willing to meet up in Nashville, and it's Row E in the center orchestra section.
Oh, hello.
Wow.
Hello,
I'm
you chick magnet.
Group, so.
You know what? All right. Well, yeah, Rebecca will take your number, and if there's a sexy liberal Asheville lady listening that wants a free ticket next to Jim, give us a call. All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Look at him dangling those orchestra streets, John, like the sugar daddy that he is.
Are those meet and grow tickets?
Uh-oh. We'll find out.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that sweetens the pot.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
You can tell your daughter we'll have tickets for her for the sexless conservative show next year.
Yes. Not ready for it. All right. All right, let's go to Eric Bowling on Fox and Friends.
Clearly, the administration is not job creating. No matter what they throw at it, these policies aren't working. Eventually, you stop digging the hole because you're getting too deep. Stop digging, hand the shovel over, try something new. Mm. Try the repatriation, try lowering taxes. I mean,
try repealing NAFTA.
Create jobs. If that's the the purpose, if it's to redistribute wealth, to, you know, this really ridiculous progressive socialist agenda that they're perpetuating, the plan, then do what you're doing.
Ask a real socialist how they feel about Obama sometimes.
Yeah.
You
I
want
have
to hear
a headache
hate. They
in
hate
my
Obama
eye
more than Republicans.
Over this tax thing. We are paying historically low taxes. The Bush tax cuts are still in place. Mm-hmm. What are they talking about?
We are
paying
the lowest
taxes in
60
years. Because taxes are too high.
They want to eliminate corporate taxes is what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, here's more than that. Obama's continued trickle-down, right? That's all this is about is trickle-down. Now, these guys want you to believe that trickle-down worked under Reagan at a 50% tax rate, but isn't working under Obama at a 36% tax rate.
Right.
And Steph, true or false, Obama has created more jobs in 2 years than Bush did in 8 years.
Yes, that's true.
That would
and
be
by
true.
The way, we did a thing yesterday, John. Somebody had done again, provable. It's very provable. Obama has cut taxes more than George Bush did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look how great it's helped the economy.
Eleanor Cliff wrote the piece, Obama the Silent Tax Cutter. That's the problem, is that people don't know. The Republican noise machine spins that he's raised taxes. He has cut taxes more than George Bush did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Fox News anchor and guest.
While battling bad manners in the big city, one artist putting his skills to work, sending a message to his fellow New Yorkers. Well, his fellow Americans are in the city. Jay Shells is joining us. He's an artist, and he's behind, Jay, some interesting street signs. Tell us where you got this idea.
I was just spinning it off of the subway etiquette campaign I did last summer. Got a lot of attention. People seemed to like it. Okay, it's ironic that I'm here, actually. I was going to do a sign that said Fox News lies and put that up. But
Jay,
then it got bumped for the cleanup after your horse, couldn't do it. So I'm stuck with the cleanup after your horse. Not as popular, but I think it's funnier.
I guess you win some and you lose some. Well, we appreciate you being a guest.
Thanks for having me.
Regardless,
appreciate
it. Jay. John?
Awkward.
I love that.
Oh, it's so great when a fox babe gets flustered.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat.
Some booker is going to get their ass beat.
Oh, boy, somebody's, yeah.
By the way, Pat Robertson says it's okay that if you divorce your wife with cancer and your wife with MS, you can run for president.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And if you divorce your wife who waited for you while you were a POW, then you can run for president, too.
You know, you were just saying that it's no worse than anything else he says. I'd forgotten how ridiculous he can be.
One viewer says, my son has to watch the Harry Potter series for a class in school and take a quiz about it. Ooh, I don't like that. What should I do?
Harry Potter's about demons. It's about the occult and witches and all that sort of thing. It, again, inoculates people into witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you object to that, you're going to be labeled as some kind of religious fanatic. I think you might want to talk to the principal and say, look, this kind of teaching is against my religious principles, and I'd like my daughter to opt out of that particular quiz.
Mm. Right.
Well, at least he's protecting the children from the most important threats in the country.
Okay. Wow. You know what else is against religious principles?
Please think of the children.
Yes, John.
You know what else is against religion? Praying in public.
Yeah.
Jesus said, only pray in private. And Pat Robertson sits in front of a camera with an 800 number for you to send money and prays to God. I'm like, Pat, would you take a dump on camera? No, because it's too personal. But you'll talk to God on camera? This guy's an insult to Christianity, and I say that he actually married my mom's cousin too. He performed the marriage ceremony for my mom's cousin years ago.
Oh,
but it's nothing compared to what he said about Haiti last year, which is the most offensive stuff he's ever done.
What did he say? Refresh my
memory. He said that the earthquake that just destroyed Haiti and continues to destroy Haiti, by the way, you wouldn't know that on our media, was God's punishment because 200 years ago the Haitians had a pact with Satan to drive their colonial oppressors and slave owners out of the country. The only country in history where an enslaved population has driven out their oppressors on their own, and Pat Robertson says it's because they work with goblins.
Mm. Yes. I had forgotten about that one. You're right.
I think that Midwest meth plagues and infant mortality rates are God's punishment for Pat Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I got out of all that is the horrible visual that you put in my mind of Pat Robertson taking a dump on camera, and I appreciate it.
Sorry about that.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Rush Limbaugh.
Another beast. Obama's limousine was a legitimate question. Folks, he had 153 bridges, structurally deficient, could fall down at any moment. Four of them in North Carolina near where Obama was. Did the beast. The beast weighs 8 tons without Michelle in it. 8 tons, 16,000 pounds. Did they drive that thing and the rest of the motorcade over one of those four bridges?
Mm.
I don't understand the fat jokes about Michelle Obama.
I don't either.
No, you don't? You really don't?
Especially from Rush Limbaugh.
You know what they're
fat.
Talking about. They're talking about one part of her anatomy, and that's what they're talking about. They are being racist and sexist. They talk about her lips, and they talk about her behind.
Wow.
So yep, he was making
exactly
fun of...
That's exactly what svelte Rush Limbaugh is talking about.
He was making fun of infrastructure... And it was a fat joke about
Michelle Obama.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, let's make fun of Rush Limbaugh's drug-addled infrastructure.
Mm. Okay. Wow. That was kind of a vomitous red world. Okay.
He sweats oxy juice. Yeah, I have to bleach my brain now, Steph.
47 minutes.
Ooh.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The movie's almost 30 years old.
Oof.
It is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. That sultry voice you hear is John Fugelsang.
Leg warmers now.
In the New York. In the New York version of the Stephanie Miller International. For all 3 hours. Yay! Sexy Liberal himself. We will all be live in Asheville, North Carolina for a Sexy Liberal Show next Saturday night. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I. Check it out. Just a few tickets left.
I am so ready for this show. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but and my 87-year-old Republican mom is coming. So
to the show or just to Asheville?
Well, I don't know about that part yet. Coming to Asheville.
Okay.
I hope she comes to the show. You'll have to behave yourself on stage.
Yeah, just the people next to her. Well, that'll be extra entertainment for them because she'll just be going, oh, dear.
If your mother comes to the show...
Sorry.
If your mother's in the audience, will you and Hal do your teabag demonstration?
See, this is the whole thing. This show will be different. I'll just be in a rocking chair knitting.
You're going to have to write material.
For the show. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You can't just spout off at the mouth.
My mom will just, she'll spend the whole day apologizing. I am so sorry. Her father and I did not raise her this way. We are so sorry. Okay. Chris in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I got a question. Actually, it's not a question. Anybody who says they're a Christian but then supports war, violence, death, killing of the poor people of the world, they're pseudo-Christians. They all fall into the category of antichrist.
They're
Pat
chinos.
Robinson, huh?
They're chinos. They're Christians in name only.
Right, yeah. They biblically speaking, they fall into the category of antichrist. Not someone who opposes Jesus, but someone who pretends to be for him, but then is completely opposite.
Yep, I
and
hear
that's
you.
Exactly what Jesus warned us about.
Yeah. By the way, we had a caller yesterday, John. What did he say? He said, "Oh, those the people in the those are just Ron Paul loonies."
The people who shouted.
Yeah.
about the death.
Letting the unshirt guy die. Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, so much for this crap excuse we keep hearing from your right-wing love muffins about the bad behavior at the GOP debates being, quote, just those Ron Paul people. Roger Simon had the misfortune of attending all these things and concludes, sometimes a crowd is just a mob that happens to be sitting down. He wrote a piece for Politico called The Mob Takes a Seat. He said, I love the smell of bloodlust in the evening. Not every evening, just the evenings that have Republican presidential debates. If you've ever asked yourself how crowds could have gathered to cheer public burnings, beheadings, and guillotinings in times past, tune into one of these debates and you'll stop asking.
Right.
So he was live in person in these audiences for all of them so far. So
I might also say if they had a journalist, an actual journalist moderating that debate, he would have asked all the other candidates, well, where do you stand on this?
Well, that's what Roger Simon points out. That's, you know, that he talks about the disgrace, of course, all of them just standing there. Yeah. Not having the courage to rebuke the crowd, you know?
Well, and that's exactly when Wolf should have asked every one of those people on that stage, what would you do in this
just
situation?
Say, hey,
would you let him die?
Right. Do you agree? Is this who we are as Americans?
But it's beating up on Ron Paul because he's the one guy telling the truth about Iraq and about Al-Qaeda, so they're going to beat him up on that and not hold the other ones to any kind of standard.
And Ron Paul is unelectable.
Why must you poke the bee's nest? Don in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Good morning. It'll be 25 years I will have been married to my wife. My wife will have been married to me. I am what you guys would consider a conservative. There's no way Pat Robertson will get away with what he said. He'll be held accountable by the Christian community. He won't be.
He never has been before.
I've just been, you know, no. I mean, we railed him on the assassination thing of Hugo Chavez. I mean, it's I'll be writing to him a personal letter.
Good.
To Jeff Better Club, which there's no chance. The caller that just said that Christians are defined by what Jesus said, Christians are defined by, that's absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament is the guidebook, the guidelines for what it is to be a Christian.
Yeah.
That is married until death do you part. Now, that's not in the New Testament. That's in a marriage ceremony. But the absolute concept of you are married until, you know, that death, there is no way. I mean, we keep photo albums, for goodness sakes. What, I'm going to just take my photo albums and my entire life with my wife when she passes and just throw them in the trash and find a new model?
Yeah, well, I know. Well, that's, I mean, but Don, is this the first time Pat Robertson has said something that's upset you?
No, and I have gotten in, you know, gotten on the phone with the 700 Club. I have, you know, I haven't been a member or submitted any money to the 700 Club in a decade or longer, actually.
You know what? There's a part of the Old Testament that says that a man can divorce his wife when he no longer delights in her, and it was Jesus who overthrew that.
Yeah.
Jesus overrules laws of the Old Testament all the time, folks, on the death penalty, on divorce.
That is true.
And Jesus was not a pro-divorce guy, but he said that if you do that and throw your wife out, that you make an adulteress out of her. Now, again, I think in a free society, you have to have adultery, you have to have divorce legal, and you can't lock people up for adultery in a free society. But but Jesus himself came out and said that because the OT said, oh, throw her out when you're done.
Well,
one part of the OT, one small part.
I'll apologize for that guy. There's no way that his theology is even close to right on that point. No way. No, I wouldn't get rid of my wife. I mean,
good.
I'm
well, Don, I aspire to what you have, and mine has nothing to do with religion. I'm just a loser, but I aspire to have 25 years like you do.
Love transcends religion, my friend.
All right, that's right. Thank you for calling, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sane conservative. Thank
you.
Now we just need to be able to let Stephanie get married legally here in California.
Well,
Mike,
she was able to.
I know.
For a second, Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, everyone. You know what? That word repatriation, I'm so sick of that. It's like Michelle Bachmann's like a grammar school kid who learns a new word and uses it 13 times a day to pretend she's intelligent.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is repatriation, you're taking corporate profits from a Swiss bank account, bringing them back into America. It does nothing for jobs. They're still going to use Chinese labor where they pay $13 a day instead of $13 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do anything
repeal
for jobs
NAFTA.
Here.
Repeal NAFTA.
Yep. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Why not feel good when John Fugelsang is in your New York bureau? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fugelsang, sexy liberal himself. Sexyliberal.com, the website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check it out. And we got Asheville, North Carolina next week, and then October is, you know, a sexy palooza.
Los Angeles. Stephanie Miller told you she wanted to love you in the most inappropriate ways. You showed your love right back. And now, after selling out the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in just 5 days, here she goes again.
Subtle plans are here again.
On October 21st at the Wadsworth Theater, welcome the second coming of John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks' second childhood, and Stephanie Miller, who lost her Los Angeles virginity at last.
On second thought, I realize that I'm very much interested in politics.
Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. So drop that box of wine and get yourself up early to score your final chance to be a part of this liberal left coast love fest.
I will not make this offer again.
Los Angeles, come get your heaping helping of sexy liberal seconds. They're guaranteed not to be sloppy.
Ah, I get it. Okay. All right, John, by the way, people are buying standing room only tickets for Saturday night.
Yeah, so, you got to go,
listen,
go for Friday.
Friday will be sold out soon, too, and then you'll be whining about having standing room tickets. Why can't I get tickets to Friday?
And we don't like whiners.
No.
And this is very important for Seattle at the end of this month. Our Saturday show is sold out, but we do have tickets available for Friday, so we have to just flog that. You got to come on Friday because it's going to be sold out, so get your tickets now because Seattle at the Moore Theater is going to be a riot.
Yes, and same in San Francisco, I believe. Just a few tickets left for Friday night. Saturday's already sold out. So we will see all y'all there if I don't die before your particular show. And if
these
I do, I apologize.
These are all West Coast dates. These are all West Coast dates.
Don't
come
die before
now.
Los Angeles. I haven't seen the show yet.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And what could be more of a dream come true for you than more of me? me on
guests,
the weekends
Steph.
And every weekday.
Two whole shows of you on a weekend. Hooray.
Yes, I'm not familiar with your work. I'd really like to go. All right. Speaking of people's work we're familiar with and we love, Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars joins us now. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning.
That's John Fugelsang is just, he's so hot for you. It's embarrassing.
She knows. It's been going on for years. She knows.
That's ridiculous. Can I just tell you, every time that I'm on the radio with John Fugelsang, it means a day of having to listen to all my girlfriend's sexual fantasies about John Fugelsang.
I know.
Like, oh.
Wow.
I know. I know.
At least there's some women I've never met who feel that way.
I know. No, Tina, I've mentioned it before, but my friend Trish, just when I say his name, she makes this sound that I've never really even heard a human make. She just goes,
It's great. This is reserved. This ardor is reserved for women that I have never and will never meet. That's good.
Okay.
In the meantime, I've got all every 60-year-old troll in Greenwich Village that likes me, so they'll keep me.
All right. All right. So, Tina, this piece, of course, perfect that you wrote this week for the Ecclesiastical MOOC. You write, Republicans are not anti-science, they're just pro-politics. It's not easy denying evolution while championing social Darwinism. The Republicans have a delicate two-step reform, pro-some Bible and pro-some science. And as you point out, they're not simpletons. This dance is very complicated, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, how anti-science can you be with an iPhone in your pocket?
Exactly. But, I, you know, it's just this is what John and I have been talking about all morning, that, you know, you say they're reading the Bible, get suddenly metaphorical when it comes to the part of in the Bible about helping the poor.
Exactly. That part they believe is metaphor. The rest they take literally. They believe all the Jesus magic tricks, but his teachings, that's open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Right, the earth is 7 weeks old, and everything in the Bible is absolutely true, and everything in there you should absolutely agree with, except for the stuff that they don't agree with, which is, you know, the same thing that they do with science, where, you know, they're way better on Twitter, and they brag all the time about this. They're way better on Twitter. They have a bigger presence on Facebook. You know, when it comes to stuff on the internet, you know, they're number one. But when it comes to, you know, a basic tenet of science, which is evolution, they're like, ah, the jury's still out.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I pointed out, you know, they're all, they're, you know, seven of the eight candidates were there at the Reagan Library in the shadow of Air Force One, never even questioning aerodynamics or the
Bernoulli principle,
you know, or gravity, yeah, which are also theories.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, one of the things you point out, I mean, which seems so clear, you say further tax cuts for the super rich. Bible's pretty clear about it being easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. And the Republicans are pretty clear on ignoring that part.
Oh, yeah. Well, they come around, they say, well, at the city, there was a passageway into the city called the Eye of the Needle. And that's what he was really talking about. That's the one time in his career Jesus wasn't speaking in metaphor. He meant this doorway.
Right. Called, yes.
And I'm like, well, then that makes no sense, because if you can get the camel through the doorway, then what's the point of his conversation anyway? So, yeah, they don't believe
right
in Jesus.
But the other thing that cracks me up is that they all kind of worship and tout and love this thing that they call the free market. And the free market is basically stepping back and letting the fittest survive, which is
evolution.
Exactly what Darwin observed and wrote about,
yes,
in the 1800s.
So they believe in social Darwinism.
Absolutely, but also, you know, this marketplace Darwinism, where if we just let everything alone and we just get all the regulations and we have no rules whatsoever, the best thing will survive, which is kind of sounds sciency. Speaking of which, Perry completely doesn't believe, you know, according to him, he doesn't believe in evolution, but he absolutely believes that the HPV vaccination will thwart cancer. But he has, you know, but when it comes to like climate science, I don't know. We can't really do anything about that.
Well, his science, you know, admittedly, is not as sound as Michelle Bachmann's science, based on somebody told me something once somewhere. And so, did you see
my
this?
Favorite story this week is that there are,
yes,
bioethicists offering money to produce,
yes,
her crying mother straw man,
yes,
as I've been calling her.
$10,000, I believe. University of Pennsylvania bioethicist is offering her $10,000 to her charity of choice if she can find just one case that proves the HPV vaccine causes mental retardation, as she...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's curious. Yeah, it is curious that woman has not come forward that... You
this
know
would hurt her campaign if anyone, yeah, took her campaign seriously to begin with.
Yeah. By the way, I love this. This isn't too terrifying for someone that could be president. Her former chief of staff said the error reflects her impulsive nature. Sometimes afraid she reads maybe 80 or 90% and leaves out or forgets the 10 or 20% that could change the outcome. Yeah. Can you imagine? She would have read the memo like, oh, terrorists determined to... All right, well, I'm
whatever
sure the rest of it isn't important. yeah, terrifying. So my other favorite line in your piece this week, the Republicans treat the Bible as their political wife, dutifully standing by in photo ops, nodding in support of everything they say, except for the parts, as you say, they disagree with.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they're like, we're the Republican Party. I mean, look, if you went and you had an alien who'd never been to Earth before, and you sat down and you explained to that alien what a Christian was, you're like, okay, so the person that they worship most was a victim of capital punishment, and he was totally into helping out the poor, hung out with prostitutes, you know, this is what Christianity is, and then that alien would never say, oh, that sounds like a Republican.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Tina, these last Republican debates, you know, John and I have been talking about them. I mean, they just, whether you're Christian or not, you have to sort of be horrified by people cheering for executions, people cheering for somebody dying, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they're uninsured. I mean, horrifying, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, but the thing with, and in fairness, I wasn't at the Florida debate, so I don't know if there were, you know, hundreds of people cheering for a 30-year-old to drop dead, but I know that Ron Paul, his campaign staffer from 2008, you know, this is,
yep,
couldn't get insurance because he had a pre-existing condition, got pneumonia, died, $400,000 in debt. And there was and this is the guy who created the money bomb for Ron Paul. He was his campaign, manager. The guy was fantastic, did everything for Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And there he is being asked this question. And this is not a theoretical question for Ron Paul. And he, has not changed his opinion whatsoever, even when real world events come and really show his ideas to be incredibly flawed.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was much more chilling than like a couple of guys, it sounds like, on the tape going, yeah, kill him or let him drop dead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was much more indicative of just the like the sheer willful ignorance and callousness of today's Republican Party.
Has this latest Michelle Bachmann faux pas, is this finally put her out of it, or was she already way out of the race?
She was never in it.
Yeah.
You know, when Rush Limbaugh tells you that you've jumped the shark.
Yeah, right. When Sean Hannity is the one doing journalism this week, something has gone terribly awry.
it's a pretty, I think she was always kind of there to be like, you know, the most extreme, so everyone can go, okay, well, this person's a nutball, but, you know, and I just want to, not let 30-year-olds drop dead, and it seems kind of reasonable. I don't think that she was ever, but I mean, she was always kind of, to me, she's always been campaigning to be Sarah Palin, which means that she doesn't actually want to be in office anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. She just wants to be famous and pretty.
Right.
And perhaps date Glenn Rice, but I don't know about that for sure. I don't know if that's true, Chris. Stop making me bring that up.
Right away, Ms. Miller.
Tina, great stuff as usual. Thanks as always for your time. Tina Dupuy from crooksandliars.com. Thanks so much, Tina.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. There she goes.
May I just say, ha-cha-cha.
Joanne Worley was on an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm this season.
Get out of here.
Larry David's assistant's mom, and she came in to help out in the office.
Yes.
It was like the fifth episode this season, so Joanne Worley is working.
This might have been the best season that Curb Your Enthusiasm has ever done.
And that's
I don't start watching it again.
The last two were really great.
This one was hysterical.
Got a little Kramer-y in the middle there.
I don't know.
I'm not saying Larry David's stealing from me, but I know he listens to our show, and I'm just saying, what's my happy place? Where do you even get that idea to have Joanne Worley on?
Yeah,
it's just
Larry.
It's just the best comedy. It's just the best sitcom.
The season finale was the funniest episode of them all.
But everyone, last year's Seinfeld season was great, and 2 years ago when the Blacks moved in and Larry winds up living with Vivica Fox, I mean, the show gets better.
He didn't know how to deal with the obviously gay kid in the finale this season. Mm-hmm. That was hysterical. Come on.
Yeah, and it's amazing how he just took his real-life divorce and just made it look like the most fun thing in the world.
Yeah.
Only Larry David.
David is like with a different hot chick every week on this show.
Uh-huh.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Fridays with Bugle-Sang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. Former and future Congressman Alan Grayson coming up in just a few minutes.
Hooray!
After the hour. Even though I heard him cheating on me with Randy Rhodes yesterday.
I just got to meet Grayson. He's such a good guy.
He's awesome. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, John asked the question, why didn't Wolf Blitzer ask the rest of the candidates that night, would they let the young guy die? Well, he tried to. That was the point where I almost threw my TV out the window. He actually asked Michelle Bachmann that same question, and she droned on about Obamacare for about 5 minutes, and then he tried to get it in again, and she kept going until the commercial break.
Wow.
So he tried. If you go back and look at the tape, he
tried.
Yeah,
no, you're right, Brian.
Yeah, you should have seen the horror on the other candidate's face when he asked that question.
Yeah, yeah,
it's too bad he had no chance after a commercial break to ask the question when he was controlling the floor.
Yeah.
And John,
yes, sir.
I meant to tell you at the Raleigh Durham, Stephanie, I liked your bit.
Thank you.
Seen Charmageddon, but John, you brought the house down.
John rocks the free world.
God bless you. That was a very special show for me. Thank you.
Yeah,
that was a very.
But thanks.
Stay for a good night.
And then he dived into the mosh pit, and then people yelled Freebird for no reason.
No, you got to understand, folks, like, if you're a comedian and you do political stuff, it's very, very hard to do it. You know, in the comedy clubs, generally people don't go for political material. Right. You know, when I lived in L.A., I did Bill Maher over 20 times. I never got on Jay Leno once as a stand-up, and that's just how it is.
Yep.
So to be able to play, like, you know, your smartest political material for the smartest, and I think we can say this, sexiest, hottest audiences in America.
Yeah, yeah,
It's a gift for me. I should be paying all of you.
You know what? Well, we'll discuss that after the show.
Oh, yeah. I already am in blood and toil.
Let's go to Jan in Amherst. Hi, Jan.
Oh, Jan.
Oh, I guess I'm the Jan with the unsultry voice, correct?
Yes.
Well, kind of.
I know.
Okay. Well,
I find you very sultry, sir.
Well, thank you, John. Hey, listen, I always like listening to you guys. You're hilarious and everything. But, you know, what I really respect in some people is their ability to just make predictions about what's going to happen, you know, because everyone talks and that's okay. But I want to make a prediction on your show. And if I'm wrong, I'll call you. You can abuse me all you want for 5 minutes. Say whatever you like.
Okay.
But I do believe that this too cool for school president of ours is going to lose his mind. And I'll tell you why.
Okay. Just lose his mind?
Point. Steph, this gives you a great opportunity to make a big fool of me if I'm wrong.
Well, you historically you are.
Well, that's okay.
You think you're going to lose his mind, like be institutionalized? That's your prediction?
No, I do believe he's going to lose his mind, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
be clinically diagnosed or just, in your opinion, lose his mind?
Hey, Chris, all I'm doing is saying I believe that something's going to happen. If I'm wrong, then I'll let
you
be ridiculed.
But
what's
going to happen?
A mental breakdown?
He will lose his... No, I believe... He's really, you know, as much as you want to think that this guy's been the most demonized president of all time, this guy's had a cakewalk. He goes from community organizer to president, and now...
Directly.
Directly to president, yeah.
John, be more specific about your prediction, because you've been so eerily accurate in the past.
And I think he's not as demonized as Clinton.
John, hang on. Let me talk. Go ahead, John.
Everyone is abandoning him, okay? You can't find any supporters except for Debbie Schultz. She has to. Now, if you can just bring all these
She's Obama's only supporter.
That is not in trouble.
John, would you please get specific? In what way? Like, is he going to turn green and rip his shirt off? Like, how will it manifest?
He's going to have a mental breakdown.
A mental breakdown?
No, and I'll tell you why. Okay. Because he's never been told no. I think he's a narcissist. And
really?
These black guys have never been told no.
No, exactly.
He can turn a good word, Steph, okay?
Right.
He can speak well.
Sure.
And some people are caught up in that.
And he's clean and literate. Articulate.
With the New York election Anthony Weiner's seat.
All right, that's going to go right in the it's going to John's prediction bin over here.
But you know what? Can we just talk for a second about the Anthony Weiner seat? Because I don't actually think it was that Anthony Weiner lost that. I mean, I don't think it was his. Well, of course, it's his fault.
Yes.
But the fact is, the conservatives, the status quo is always more organized. And even though it's been an historically Democratic seat. And when you have these special elections, who shows up? The conservatives are always more organized than the progressives.
They inflamed, I think, the Orthodox Jewish vote over Israel, and they inflamed the homophobes over the Democrats' vote for marriage equality. You know,
The Netanyahu government's economic policies are hurting Israel a lot more than anything Obama could ever do.
Yeah.
Obama has groveled before AIPAC.
All right, I have that in the it's in the half off bin already in John's predictions. But we'll that'll go on record.
Yes.
Because he's going to go, you know, somehow.
Glenn Beck on our ass.
Yes.
Dump.
Notoriously intemperate.
Yeah,
he'll
show up with abrasions on his head, and they'll say he choked on a pretzel somehow.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All the same. All men are perverted pigs. All they care about, really, all they think about is...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, it's that time. Former and future congressman.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
with an echo. Good morning, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson.
Good morning.
Despite my hearing you, I'm overhearing you cheat on me with Randy Rhodes, I am still taking you back this morning.
That's good, because I love to be in your arms.
Oh, you said that to her 34 after. Now, you know, obviously we've all been talking about you this week because of everybody watching these Republican debates and having them cheer, you know, a 30-year-old, uninsured 30-year-old dying. And this is what we said. We said, remember how shocking and outrageous it was when Alan Grayson said on the floor of, you know, Congress that the Republicans' health care plan is, don't get sick, and if you do, die quickly. And there it was. How did you feel when you watched that?
Well, you know, I'm often proven right, but it usually doesn't take this long.
I mean, it was just chilling, though, wasn't it, watching that?
That's them. That's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have an official theme song.
What's that?
Another One Bites the Dust.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, and again, in case you thought that was an anomaly, that you know, you had the previous one where they're cheering Rick Perry's 240 whatever executions, right?
Yeah, it's like I said to the Huffington Post, these are the same kind of people who cheered when the lions ate the Christians.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I think I was quoting somebody on Politico said sort of the same thing. If you wonder how, you know, people cheered beheadings and all of that, I mean, that was this crowd.
Yep.
You know, and let's not even mention the fact that, you know, clearly at least one of the people he executed was innocent. But, you know, when Wolf Blitzer actually asked him about it, he goes, oh, I think people understand justice. It's like,
I'm waiting for one of these Republican candidates to propose that we go back to public hangings.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know why it hasn't happened yet. I think it would be enormously popular. They'd sweep to victory.
Now, put it on pay-per-view and fix the deficit. But Wolf Blitzer never said Cameron Todd Willingham's name.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, we keep hearing about the liberal media, and, you know, they're still not asking them the tough questions. You coined a phrase called Tea Party Sadism, Alan, which I think is, you know, I mean, that's exactly what we're watching.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary not just to Democrats, but also to sane Republicans.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and now we have this latest, you know, it's not like you're unacquainted with Michelle Bachmann and her craziness, but I mean, this is we're not just anti-science, this party, but they're literally, oh, some woman said something, so I'm just going to repeat it, despite how completely irresponsible that is.
Yeah, look, this is who they are. Now everybody can see it. It's on parade. They're not even attempting to hide it anymore. They're just drunk on their own power and their bloodthirstiness.
You know, CNN just did some polling, because you've been talking a lot, obviously, about the Tea Party. The pollster said, demographically, the Tea Party movement seems to harken back to the angry white men who were credited with the Republicans' upset victory in 1994 midterms. Ideologically, it effectively boils down to the centuries-old contest between the conservative and moderate wings of the party. It's been compared to my dad in Goldwater's year in 64. Do you think it's going to play out like that? That, you know, they're going to pick a true believer like Rick Perry? Or is it totally different this time?
Well, it's interesting. You sent me the link to the poll, and I appreciate that. And I read the poll closely, and one of the results in the poll is that they asked the teabaggers some questions, and they found that 12 out of every 8 teabaggers don't understand basic arithmetic. I think where this is going is, yes, I said this last year, that, you know, these people's fathers were running around in bedsheets all around the South.
Yeah.
There is a grand tradition, a paranoid tradition in American politics that's been written about, and they're part of it. They think that everybody's out to get them, but they're out to get everybody else. That's the way it actually works. They're the ones who want to cut off old people's Medicare, old people's Social Security, poor people's Medicaid. You know, they use the cover that they're under attack in order to attack others.
Right. Well, Alan, tell us where, you know, you think we're at right now, though, because, you know, you hear these pundits, you know, yesterday the big chyron on CNN is, you know, James Carville wrote a piece, it's time for you know, the president to panic. You know, but clearly some of the polling numbers are not good. Where do you think where we are and where we're going in this next cycle?
Well, what makes it different this time, which we haven't seen yet in a presidential election, is the Citizens United decision. You know, up until this point, the lunatics just could appeal to the lunatic fringe. Now they have the power of the Koch brothers behind them and the power of basically capitalism gone crazy. all of the sewer money that ends up in Karl Rove's hands that he can deploy, which is going to be far more than any Democratic candidate can deploy. The president has been somewhat successful in raising money, but let's face it, the Koch brothers could outspend them 15 to 1 all by themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to see that for the first time in this election, and all that money is squarely behind the crazies.
Well, and the other thing, you know, speaking of polls, so unemployment obviously has jumped to the top of the list of voter concerns. 39% of Americans consider unemployment or jobs the country's most important problem. That's up 10% from August. According to the new Gallup, unemployment has surpassed the economy. You know, the last time it was just sort of the economy, now it's jobs. Here's the troubling part. Ask which party they think would better handle the problem they consider most important. 44% picked the Republican Party, 37% picked the Democratic Party. I mean, which must frustrate you and I, because you're like, despite the fact Republicans are the ones that have done absolutely nothing about jobs and are blocking everything the president's now trying to do, right?
Well, look, you know, the public doesn't think either party can solve their problems right now, because either party has not solved their problems yet, and things just go from bad to worse. I said on your show last time that we have 23 million people in this country who can't find full-time work. We have 50 million people who can't see a doctor when they're sick. We have 47 million people who need government help in order to feed themselves. They're in the food stamps program. And we have 15 million families who owe more on their mortgage than the value of their home, and their net worth is less than zero. They are literally broke. These are problems that they don't see either party striving to address in any meaningful way, and certainly not coming up with actual solutions. They look at the two parties, and to them the two-party system seems to be the rabid dog party and the jellyfish party.
Yeah.
Well,
they deserve
better than
that.
Yeah.
And when forced to pick, they will pick one or the other. But what they really want to pick is somebody who's going to help them with problems they can't solve themselves. That party doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is part of the problem, is that, you know, you're dealing with another party that doesn't believe in government and has no interest in helping you govern.
No, they have literally, in front of my very own eyes, destroyed the government in order to be able to say that the government doesn't work. It's the me-lie approach to governing. We had to destroy the village in order to save it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Congressman, I got to ask you, we had a caller the other day, you know, that made the point, you know, some of our strongest progressives lost in this last cycle, like you and Russ Feingold. What do you attribute that to, and how do we get back in the next cycle?
I don't really see it that way. I mean, the overwhelming number of we talked about this on the air on your show a few months ago. The overwhelming number of Democrats who lost were Democrats who were simply in districts that were not traditionally Democratic districts. In my case, the district was Republican for 34 years before I got elected,
right?
And it swung back in the other direction in the last election. In those few cases where a progressive lost, it was because the progressive had the guts to be a progressive, representing a district that was a mostly Republican district. I mean, in my case, there's the case of Russ Feingold. I mean, look where Wisconsin is right now. Hard to the right, with the Republicans controlling every part of the Wisconsin government. That's his state. So, but he had the courage to be a real progressive, despite the fact that he was representing a state like that. I mentioned on the air that more than half of the Blue Dog Democrats, the conservative Democrats who formed their own separate caucus in the House of Representatives, more than half of them lost last year. They went from 52 members down to 26. So I don't think it's true that many progressives lost. The progressives lost who lost were the ones with the guts to be progressive, regardless of the history of their own districts.
Yeah, well, it happened to be two that I love most. We're going to do everything we can.
You're making me jealous now.
But we're going to do everything we can to get you back. And I know Randy Rhodes, I think, has even mentioned she's putting a dress on to go do something for you this weekend. So that biatch.
But she didn't say she's taking a dress off.
All right, I'll go her one better. I got to get your take on, Boehner is already saying that, naysaying the president's jobs bill. Explain this to me. Here
they've been slammed by uncertainty.
Job creators.
From the constant threat of new taxes, out-of-control spending, and unnecessary regulation from a government that's always micromanaging, meddling, and manipulating.
What is he talking about?
And continuing our failed policies.
People have been just drenched with so much cynicism. government that he could literally go blah, 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 and people would interpret that as what he's actually meaning to say. They know what he means to say. What he means to say is the standard Republican talking points, which are, at this point, blah, blah, blah. He's trying to make the point, which they always try to make, that somehow government is the problem. Well, let's look at the facts, okay? In the last 10 years in this country, you know, 2 years under a Democratic president, 8 years under a Republican president, in the last 10 years, the private sector has created zero jobs in this country. Zero.
Yeah.
In fact, we've lost 1 million private sector jobs in the last years, and this is when we stuff the private sector with tax breaks and with incentives and with bailout money, you know, like veal. We're fattening them up like veal, and yet in the end they produce no jobs over 10 years, whether Democrats in charge or Republicans in charge. So you really have to wonder just what kind of loose connection to reality people like Boehner actually have.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems very attenuated to me.
Yeah, well said. Well, I can tell you your call waiting kept going through, and it was Randy Rhodes trying to get you, so I will
44
let
after.
You know. And,
hear that remark about the dress. She wants to make good on it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Representative Alan Grayson, former and future congressman. Thank you, honey. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. There he goes. Hola. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad. I got
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad.
Yeah. Access.
It's too hot.
Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad, with Go to My PC free for 45 days. Visit gotomypc.com, click on the Try It Free button, enter that there promo code Stephanie. Fridays with Fuglesang continues apace. John Fuglesang in the New
Hello.
York.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes.
Nice to be here.
All right. The president on the jobs bill.
If you love me, you got to help me pass this bill.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, by the way, so Rush Limbaugh was mocking that yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, it obviously was tongue-in-cheek.
No, a guy in the crowd yelled out, we love you.
We love you. And he's
and
like,
he responded
love me,
back
yes.
to the guy. And
right,
now Republicans are acting like he just peed on a Bible.
I know. Exactly. Thank you, John.
Wow,
exactly.
John.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Jay Carney, the president's Carney.
Congress doesn't need a phone call from the president to vote on legislation. That's a myth. He's reflecting the urgency that the American people feel. And you know, there will be, I'm sure, conversations between the White House and the leadership about this as we progress.
Can he get a more scintillating press secretary?
I think. He's not Carney enough, like, ironically.
Yeah,
I wish he'd hire me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, you'd be perfect.
I'd clean up.
The boner.
If we want job growth, we need to recognize who really creates jobs in America.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And it's the private sector.
Job creators.
Really? So the president, so then why is he saying, Mr. President, where are the jobs?
Yeah.
And then acknowledging the president can't create jobs.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that through, obviously.
The president's proposals are a poor substitute for the pro-growth policies that are needed to remove barriers to job creation in America.
Like
the policies that are needed to put America back to work.
The policies we had for 8 years under George Bush, which were so successful.
The policies that have still continued.
Yeah. Right.
Boehner describes himself as a pretty simple guy who sleeps well at night. He sleeps well at night because he's had a fifth of bourbon, for God's sakes. Who doesn't sleep well?
I sleep really well at night for about 3 hours. Then I wake up.
Well, if you've been out in the sun all day, don't you always sleep well? No?
And he says he does not get angry despite the frustration of working with a Democratic president.
Great.
That tan's not from the sun.
Boehner also compared his youth. Oh, here we go again.
Zammer!
Popsicle stick. Boehner compared his youth when he grew up with 11 siblings to his current job. The chaos, he said, is the same thing I deal with every day. And one of the benefits of working in his father's tavern! I worked at a tavern!
Good God.
Was that you had to learn to deal with every jackass who walks through the door.
Like John Boehner?
Yes, jackass is much like John Boehner. Speaking of his efforts to get Republicans to go along with that final deficit, you know, the debt ceiling thing, he said there were a couple of freshmen, a couple of young whippersnappers who seemed to have all the answers. Boehner, a smoker,
the young guns.
a smoker told him he wasn't going to open the door until he got their support, and he said, I've got a week and a half worth of cigarettes in that chest over there. And it still took about 45 minutes. I just picture him chain smoking and guzzling bourbon. Come on! Teabaggers. I have a feeling he called them teabaggers. I don't know. I'm just. Connor in Phoenix on Pat Robertson. Hi, Connor.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
First of all, I want to say, first-time caller, long-time listener, got my wife hooked up with you guys, too. So,
hello.
And I want to, do a shout-out to her. Can she be the official inner-city public school teacher of Phoenix here for the Stephanie Miller Show?
Oh, sure.
By all means.
Okay, great. Well, I have something for Jim here, a conspiracy theory kind of thing for Pat Robinson. I'm thinking that maybe he's setting everybody up to about his wife. I'm wondering about the care condition, too, you know, so that maybe he's kind of getting us all prepared for down the road.
Oh.
And he's doing all these shows with these young women sitting there talking with him and stuff like that.
Oh.
So I'm wondering about that.
Okay.
So
the Lord told me to get rid of the old bag, and so who am I to... Tell the Lord no.
The Lord told me to get the hottest young Tatiak Fon. Okay, let's go to Rick and...
Terry Musin, his co-host on 700 Club? Yowza.
Rick in Denver, City by the Bay. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
Good. Hey, I came to the conclusion after thinking about this for a long time that Democrats look at the world and the government as we or us, meaning we the people.
Right.
And Republicans look at the government as them or they. In other words, they're going to take our guns, they're going to take our money. And how else does the top 1% get 50% to be afraid of something if they're not they or them? So that's just something that if you look at the world from those two polar opposites, I think it, you know, makes a little more sense.
Yep. All right. Thank you for calling preposition. I don't know. I'm tired. It was just I got lost in there somewhere.
Yeah.
They and them and we and I don't know. Preposition corner. Something.
No, pronouns.
All right. Let's pronouns. All right.
Stephanie,
pronoun corner. All right. Listen.
Pronouns.
Pronoun corner. Thank you. All righty then. You know that teabagger Joe Walsh, that snotty guy that's always on TV lecturing the president about fiscal responsibility?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you pay my alimony, Mr. President?
Judge rebukes deadbeat dad Joe Walsh for missing child support hearing. He owes more than $117,000 in child support to his ex-wife and three children, despite loaning his own campaign $35,000 and paying himself back at least $14,000.
Oh, dear.
Walsh claimed he failed to make the payments because he had no money. Yesterday, a Chicago judge issued a preliminary ruling against Walsh, ordering him to explain why he's more than $100,000 behind in child support payments. The judge also scolded Walsh for not attending the hearing personally after his lawyer suggested he deserves special treatment.
I paid a guy to come show up for me. Wow.
In court, Walsh's attorney asked for what purpose he wanted the congressman in court. To which the judge gave her a puzzled look. She said, Mr. Walsh is a U.S. congressman. The judge said, well, he's no different than anyone else. You douche nozzle.
Wow.
And that's why liberals have no family values.
That's right.
Excuse me.
Are you okay?
I'm sneezy. Okay. Let's go to Jim in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller.
Someone say dopey, but...
Yeah.
Hey! Bastard person. Jim in
Good
Seattle.
Morning, crew.
Hi, Jim.
Good morning. Hey, if the Bush tax cuts were so great, why did we lose 10 million jobs in 8 years?
Thank you.
And if the tax cuts brought so much revenue, why aren't we all swimming in money right now? Why aren't we all rich?
Well,
so when
exactly.
I seen Boehner and McConnell counter-comment the president's jobs bill, the entire time they did this, what did they offer as an alternate proposal?
Nothing.
Since January of this year, what have they offered the American people in jobs?
Tax cuts for billionaires.
I've not seen one job offer so far.
That's
right. I've not seen one job opportunity so far. What are these guys talking about when they keep saying jobs, jobs, jobs? In what context, Stephanie?
Well, in the context that their spokesman, Yukon Cornelius, mentioned what their plan is. Here's what they have.
Nothing.
There you go. All right.
You know, what would produce jobs is President Obama's jobs bill, if they can get passed.
Senator Jim DeMint on Obama's jobs plan, let's see, he was on the record with Greta. He told her that the president is practicing venture socialism and killing jobs.
What is that? It's a clever sounding phrase.
They always say this. It's like these stories of Michelle Bachmann. I've been talking to blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah.
Someone said.
DeMint said, I've been visiting businesses last month. They're telling me the same thing. The president's policies and the lack of certainty with the regulatory environment is killing them. They have money to invest. They believe in the American economy, but the president's killing jobs.
He created more jobs in 2 years than Bush did in eight.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. David in Asheville, right, Steph? My partner, 21 years, and I will be second row center for your upcoming Asheville Sexy Liberal Tour.
Yeah.
We can't wait to welcome you to North Carolina's cesspool of sin. a right-wing politician in North Carolina called Asheville the cesspool of sin.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to dive right in. The water's fine.
Where all the New Yorkers are moving.
I, like you, have a Republican mother and family in Charlotte, but I can go you one better. Cue the threatening music. They're Mormon.
Mormon?
She will not be attending.
Yeah.
See you on the 24th. All right, David. We'll
North
see
Carolina.
Yeah.
Get ready for your second dose of Sexy Liberal. Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium, the Sexy Liberal Show comes to Asheville.
Oh, this I gotta see.
Down in Asheville.
Join Stephanie Miller.
I see you got Snoop Pelican.
John Fugelsang.
You're funny, all right. You're a scream.
And Hal Sparks.
Which one? Joke Cracker.
Saturday, September 24th. Get your sexy on in Asheville.
You don't want to concern yourself with government business.
Come and laugh with Steph, John, and Hal, and meet other sexy liberals.
I hope you're out of jail in time to vote.
Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com for the Sexy Liberal Show starring Stephanie Miller.
Boy, you're funny, you are. You ought to go on the radio and be an all-night disc jockey.
From Klingman's Dome to the Blue Ridge Parkway, don't miss your last chance to get your sexy on this year, North Carolina, with the Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium in Asheville.
Doggy, and then Q Howard Dean coming up. Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Austin, Buffalo, Fort Lauderdale, and then Denver, our final show in Australia.
We're going to go to Ohio. We're going to go to Tampa. We're going to go to D.C. We're going to go to New York.
D.C.?
Settle down. No, we're not. Are we?
We're getting asked to go to D.C.
We're getting asked to go to D.C. a lot.
We're trying to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Me and Roland and the elves are trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
All right. Joanne from Boston writes, hey, Steph, OMG, I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. Right here in my little hands, my printed receipt for the two VIP grip and grab for the June 9th, 2012 Sexy Liberal Show in Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Way to plan ahead. I'm right up there front. First row, can't believe you're coming back to Boston where Paul Revere crossed the Charles to tell us the Germans were invading Maine. Can't wait, Joanne. I didn't even know where.
There are some other Sexy Liberal
you
surprises.
People crazy.
If you go to sexyliberal.com.
Yes, there's a lot of dates that we can't officially announce yet.
Yeah, that was news to me. So my listeners told me they'll see me there. I'm like, well, apparently, I'm right
Let's
on the ticket.
Let's just say, you could conceive a child tonight and bring the child to one of our shows next
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
That is
do
true.
It. Do it now.
Or conceive
All
a child right. at the show like most people do.
Yes.
Well, it is
All
sexy
right.
liberal.
Let's talk to our buddy, our pal, our old friend, Eric Burns from Bullfight Strategies. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning. Well, you know, that was obviously a Michelle Bachmann joke I just did, but you're doing something
Obviously.
Important about the actual Constitution.
By the way, though, look, you guys, I'm stuck in Washington. Please come to Washington with the Sexy Liberal Tour. I saw it in Minneapolis with Carl Frisch.
Oh.
And my business partner and your good friend. It was fantastic.
Aww.
And you guys need to please come to D.C.
Oh, thank you, honey. Well, we will, I'm sure it'll be scheduled without my knowledge, so I'll let you know. Now, you want to discuss the constitutional progressives' effort to take back the Constitution. Talk to us, brother. Hello? Did I lose him? How did I do that? Eric?
Uh-oh.
I didn't do anything. All right.
Didn't do anything.
Rebecca, you might have to call him back. Well, anyway, they are doing something. Because, you know, the Republicans at every debate, it's all they talk about is the Constitution. And yeah, they don't seem to have any, I love it as Erica puts it.
Well, they ignore the preamble.
Yeah.
They don't believe in promoting the general welfare. Ron Paul's the only guy to talk about the fact that the Constitution says Congress can declare war and that the Iraq War was completely unconstitutional. I mean, they believe in the Constitution like they believe in the Bible when it suits their needs.
Yep.
Now, we're all that. Everyone's that way with their religion and their Constitution. It's just when you do it to justify being a douche to people, we got to call you out on it.
There you go. Eric describes it as taking the Constitution back from the GOP, who has set it on fire, bulldozed it, poked its eyes out, and gutted it. To the detriment of the future of the United States of America. Why, look, he's back. It's Eric Burns, everybody.
Hi. Hey, I'm back. I was just playing a trick on you guys for Constitution Day.
Okay, oh, thanks. Yeah. That was funny. Wow. Now, so do you have an 11 a.m., is that Eastern time conference call?
Yes, there's an event going on today at Center for American Progress that is actually talking about this with People for the American Way, with the Constitutional Accountability Center, and a whole bunch of other organizations that are really announcing a new campaign to take back the Constitution from the right wing. Really, the Constitution is a progressive document. We know that. You know that, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
It protects our rights, and we've seen an incredibly vicious campaign from the right wing to really take away, everything that Americans hold dear, from Social Security, health care, child labor laws, food
Medicare
regulations, Medicare. And they're running around trying to say this stuff is unconstitutional. And they're doing it while they're wrapping themselves in the American flag. And I think it's wrong. I'm tired of it. I know other people are tired of it. And so I think the whole point of this campaign is to kind of make these guys on the right, the Tea Party folks, own it and say, look, you can't try to repeal and rip apart the Constitution and then wrap yourselves in it. So they're calling on elected leaders in Washington to reaffirm their oath of office to protect the Constitution, the whole Constitution, not just the parts they like. And then there's a campaign out there to get everyday Americans to sign the whole Constitution pledge, which is basically asking folks to say, hey, I'm standing up for the Constitution. I want my Constitution back, and we're not going to take this anymore.
Eric, it is interesting how, they have basically turned the Constitution, I think, as you say, into a political weapon. And
yes,
and what you're talking about is how we take it back, correct?
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah. So I think it's in this we look at what the political debate, the national debate going on right now. It's really about them trying to destroy and rip apart government as we know it. And progressives have to be able to make a case for why we need government. Any government. It's really, really important. Especially John Boehner just yesterday was saying that the regulatory burden coming out of Washington far exceeds the constitutional mandate. And so until Americans stand up and say that's not what the Constitution is. It's our compact with the government, and it lays out our rights, and you can't just pick and choose and cherry pick, then it's going to continue. And I think that our economy is going to continue to suffer, and the country is going to continue to suffer until we stand up and take it back.
Eric, you've heard obviously all kinds of punditry since these last twin defeats in New York for Democrats, and obviously a lot of the polling and fears going into the the next cycle. James Carville saying it's time to panic. Obviously, it's one of the reasons you formed Bullfight Strategies. So talk to us about what we need to do.
Well, yeah, I was at Media Matters, Stephanie, as you know, and Carl and I left to form Bullfight Strategies to actually, help create a coherent pushback, from progressives on the left. And it really is about this fistfight that we see every day in the media. That is driving politics. It's driving how Americans view what's going on, and conservatives understand that, and they're using it. And so they're demagoguing everything that we see. They're demagoguing the president, which, of course, resulted in that shocking, defeat in New York, mm-hmm. because people are being fed a whole can of lies. And until progressives and Democrats have a cohesive narrative and a story to tell about why we have a right to things like Social Security, we need child labor laws, and we need regulation to prevent, a major economic collapse on Wall Street, then we're going to continue to be in the dire straits that we're in. I think it's important not just that you get a lot of progressive groups behind this campaign, which they are, and we get members of Congress to lead out on this, which, like John Kerry is stepping out and taking a lead on this, and Senator Leahy is
has made some comments on this, but we need to get folks out there across America signing up for this, and they can do that by going to constitutionalprogressives.org, and they can sign the pledge themselves.
Well, that is, I think, the main challenge, isn't it? How do we overcome the Republican noise machine? You know, one poll I was reading today, Eric, that, you know, is distressing, is that, you know, in this particular, I don't know, I think it's Gallup, but that, you know, the respondents say they trust Republicans more on jobs at this particular point than Democrats. And I'm going, based on what?
Yeah,
they've done absolutely nothing. But you're right. It's part of this, you know, and the fact that they've been able to get, oh, Obama keeps raising taxes when Obama has cut taxes more
exactly.
than George Bush.
Exactly.
How do we?
No, it's like people have, there's no reality out there that everybody can agree on. There's this conservative reality that's completely off in Lululand. And then we have our kind of like fact-based culture that we deal with, you know, in the center and on the left, Stephanie, and it's a serious problem.
Well, I was listening to someone today on the radio from PolitiFact, you know, talking about, I mean, stuff that you and I know is kind of a no-brainer, like Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry and how
yeah.
many pants on fire lies they routinely tell. And
yeah.
isn't that one of the problems is we're some in many cases up against people that just have no you know, they have no compunction to tell the truth at all.
No, they don't. In fact, I was listening to Bill Ader, too, and what was shocking to me about it was that, you know, I think Mitt Romney was the best, and it was like maybe, I don't know, half of the things that he said were actually truthful.
He had the best score.
It's a pretty shockingly low standard for integrity.
Oh, Michelle Bachmann's spectrum. Michelle Bachmann's fact checker just made it home last night.
I didn't know she had one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you really want the truth, Eric Burns of Bullfight Strategies, tell us again where we can go for what you're doing.
Yes, yeah, it's constitutionalprogressives.org. And it's asking folks to sign the whole Constitution pledge. I know that you're going to do that, Stephanie Miller. I know you will.
Yes, indeed.
And I hope that all your listeners do, too. And we need to push members of Congress to do the same and actually start standing up for our rights.
Yep.
And I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Eric Burns, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There he goes from Bullfight Strategies.
What a man.
Maria in Chicago real quick on Sexy Liberal. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, Maria.
Very sexy liberals. Steph, so I missed you while you were gone, but I need to thank you from the bottom of my heart for having John fill in for you for that entire week.
Right.
Oh, it was yummy.
See, she made that sound, John.
No.
So I was lucky enough to come and see you guys in Detroit, and I had meet and greet tickets. I brought a client with me. And it was so fantastic. First of all, Stephanie, you looked amazing.
Oh,
right?
You're so gorgeous in person. Oh,
she's
my
a hottie.
Goodness.
Oh,
yeah.
Please. Thank you very much.
Hottie.
Did you see Aretha? More importantly, did you see Aretha Franklin?
I did, and I heard her giggling, and it was fantastic.
We made Rita laugh. Yay. Okay, I'm sorry.
You made her laugh. I know. It was just such a great show. You guys killed it. It was wonderful. And then to see you afterwards was just fantastic.
Thank you, honey.
I wanted to invite all of you because I'm really going to need you. I need to invite all of you to my family Thanksgiving dinner because it's going to be really ugly
sure.
this year.
Let me write that down. Let me write that down.
Put it on your paper calendar.
I'll put it on my paper calendar. Thank you, Maria. Thanks for coming. We appreciate it.
Love you guys.
All right.
Take
love
care.
You too, honey. Say the thing again. How
she
great is
stay.
That?
She
for no
stay.
Extra money, you got to hear Aretha Franklin giggle. What does that
all
sound
night,
like,
she
I
was
wonder?
Laughing a lot. And she has that deep voice, that deep laugh. You could tell it was her. It was awesome. Right from the balcony.
See, I finally got some RESPECT. Okay, 18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fuglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Go, Aretha.
That song is
Go,
aged
Aretha.
Really well.
24 minutes
after the
hour.
I can't tell if you're being...
I'm being serious.
Are
you?
That
song's aged really well.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds totally 80s, but it sounds great.
Yeah.
It was like
yeah.
pop soul music in the 80s. People forget.
Mm-hmm. 24 minutes after the hour. Fridays with John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau. Of Stephanie Miller. It was good to have the ecclesiastical MOOC. Right after we have all the, you know, the cheering of death at the Republican presidential debates.
Oh, mercy,
including,
yeah.
Including the number of Rick Perry's, what you call it, executions. Oh, by the way, U.S. Supreme Court has halted the execution of a black man convicted of a double murder in Texas.
Yep.
Because they asked, there was a question asked about race at the during his trial that they ruled was unfair.
I'm shocked they halted any executions.
Yes, so is Rick Perry.
Governor Perry, a question about Texas. Your state has executed 234 death row inmates, more than any other governor in modern times.
Ron Paul, so you're a doctor. You know something about this subject. Young man makes a good living, but decides, I'm not going to spend $200 or $300 a month for health insurance. He needs intensive care. Are you saying the society should just let him die?
Yeah. Live and let die.
Have you struggled to sleep at night?
Live and let die.
No, sir, I've never struggled with that at all.
Live and let die.
If you get sick, America, die quickly.
But I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Curtis LeMay.
Speak, live and let die. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Steph?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, what I wanted to call on this Joe Walsh character, they brought him up earlier, and he's been on the local channels over here a few times. I kind of noticed the weird thing about him. He never refers to President Obama as the president or President Obama. It's always this president. Mm. I kind of remember that in the debate with McCain when that guy.
That one.
That one.
Yeah.
Or if you're Pat Buchanan, your boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, Pat Buchanan. All right. Always the most entertaining thing, John, is that he doesn't understand what he said. He's what? Why is that racist? Mm-hmm. Shirley in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, kids. I basically want to talk about two people that you've been talking about, and it's to Mr. Phelps. I think we all should write him and say that we're ready to help him. He needs to come out of the closet. There's people ready to get him to to make it easy.
Marcus
for him.
Bachman, ready to do reparative therapy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I will suck the day out of you, Fred Phelps.
Yes.
Pat Robertson, I think I would like to know how I can get in a share of his diamond mine. We should write Charles Taylor to see how he's doing, or if Pat Robertson has written him, see how he's doing. The fact is, these are hypocrites.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Shirley. John, people saying we've been talking about the what does Ron Renger call a cylinder? Is the Bush or the Obama administration's Watergate?
Yeah.
What?
Cylindra.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because
well.
We've never talked about it. They never said a peep about all the no bid contracts for Halliburton. And this is like, I'm like, really? This is the best you hear?
Mm-hmm.
Cylindra officials cited foreign competition, particularly from China, as a significant cause of the company's failure. Chinese company, which received billions of dollars in government funding, are producing similar products at a fraction of the cost that Cylindra could.
Exactly.
So that's exactly.
We need more government funding here.
Yes. Jay Carney.
Yeah. The reason why fledgling, cutting-edge industries need this kind of assistance is because they can be high risk as well as high reward.
And also, I believe the application started under the Bush administration, just FYI.
Indeed it did.
Yes.
Bush sent him plenty of money. And again, you know, Halliburton didn't collapse. We gave them a lot of taxpayer money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Carney again.
We're going to be buying that stuff. Do we want to buy it with a stamp on it that says made in America, or are we going to buy it from the Chinese or from other countries?
Senator Bernie Sanders on the Cylindra situation as
well. Let's end the nonsense about picking winners and losers. That's what we're doing. The issue is, will we pick the smart winners?
And by the way, the CEO of Cylindra, John, Republican.
Uh-huh.
Their second largest shareholder is the Walmart. What's his name? Walton from Walmart stars. Well-known Republicans as well. So,
that'd be like if Fox News' second largest shareholder was a Saudi prince.
Oh, that's silly.
That's crazy.
Silly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays at Bugle Slang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
Why, yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang, sexy liberal himself, in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fugelsang. Sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, and StephanieMiller.com, Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We have Mama's Vacation pictures up.
Yep.
With me and my girlfriend Lisa. Okay.
Yes.
What?
I
know. Now we have all the questions, Chris. You know how that is.
Of course.
Charlie in St. Paul, important question about Lisa. Steph, sorry, this is somewhat delicate, but does Lisa know you like to pee in the shower?
Computer, yeah.
Yes, okay. Anyway, I won't make some dirty comment about her tickling your butt for you so you can pee, so don't worry. All right, thanks for that.
Wow.
She's done that, too. Okay.
What?
Wow.
No, listen,
moving on.
We're all helpers.
Oh, my God.
Do we have pictures of that?
The most important news, I'm a cat person now. I have a... John, I'm in an interspecies, interracial. Well, they're black and white cats, and I have white dogs. It's a whole, interracial, interspecies mishpuka. Julie from Seattle, she's a cat person. Since you're a cat person, Steph, if the cat hasn't taken you yet, speak to them in respectful, full sentences. See, you people are all cat people. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
You can't talk dog to them.
No, you cannot.
No, you can't. See, the thing is, the ancient Egyptians worshipped cats as God, and they stopped doing that 3,000 years ago, but no one told the cats.
Exactly. You can't talk to a cat like it's a baby, Stephanie.
No.
I found that out.
Yeah.
Oreo's she's a little tricky.
Yeah.
You talk to a cat like anyone who gives you conditional love.
You have to earn the love from the cat.
Found that out the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, now I think I'm on a roll with I've got two different species. I'm in the park walking my dogs yesterday. Guess what someone was walking?
What?
A pig. Someone had a baby pig. They were
walking that in New York City.
Park.
Uh-huh.
I gotta get a pig.
Was there a baby monkey?
It was not a baby, but I thought of that. I said, you know, if only there were a baby monkey riding backwards on that, I could die now.
Ooh.
Oh, it was a little baby pig. Monkey. He was so cute. He's wagging his tail.
Baby monkey.
Uh-huh.
Riding on a pig, baby monkey.
Yay!
Damn.
Baby monkey.
Damn.
Baby monkey.
Turn around, Mr. Monkey.
Oh, my God, he wags his tail. Max and Fred loved him. They were like, what's that? What's that?
That's kind of weird-looking dog.
Oh, my God. They couldn't get enough of him. Okay.
Maybe he smelled like bacon.
Stop it. They kissed him. They weren't trying to eat him. Teddy,
as far as you know.
Yeah. Teddy in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Teddy.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Thank you very much for accepting my call. I want to tell you, I want to be the official chef of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
And when you come here on the 19th, I'd love to cook dinner for you and your friends. I'm sure you still have
friends. Oh, when I come for the Sexy Liberal Show to Mama's Hometown, November 19th. Okay.
Yeah, at Shays Buffalo.
Awesome.
Anyways, here's my question. I got a real problem with polling. I went around with my friend yesterday. We're running errands. We were in Lockport.
Lockport? My mama's hometown, yeah.
I know. We were in Cheektowaga. We were in West Seneca, where I'm from. And we asked everybody we came into, 25 people. We stopped at 25 and said, have you ever been polled? Has anybody called you? Have you ever gotten an email or a letter? And everybody said no.
Right.
So who gets polled when they say the American people?
Yeah, well, if the Republicans are in charge, the American people are being polled constantly.
Hey, lady.
See, am I right about the names from near my hometown? Cheektowaga, Tonawanda, Lackawanna? Mm-hmm. All Indian words for
we
I'm freezing my
maze.
Off. I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's what we call it, maze.
By the way, no, we don't.
Where I grew up, everything is a new name on Long Island where I grew up.
By the way, the Sexy Liberal Show, Chris, that is shaking people out of the bushes I haven't heard from in years.
Oh.
Don't say the name. I got a letter from my childhood bully that won tickets to Sexy Liberal.
No way.
Not sure if you remember me. I'm like, yes, I do.
Is this the one who pushed you into the bushes?
Shush, yes.
Outside the my God!
I got a letter from my childhood bully saying, can I get tickets to Sexy Liberal?
Wow, that's
awesome. The revenge, isn't it? Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right. You know, some people underestimate my ability to hold a grudge.
Sure her last name's not that anymore.
Stop it.
Actual headline on FoxNews.com, Snooki and Dina make out.
Awesome. Who's Dina? I don't know.
Dina's the Middle Earth creature that joined the cast.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. I like my story better, John.
I like your story better, too. Yeah.
Intrepid masturbating cable installer serviced woman's living room with a smile. Finally, a cable guy has something good for you.
He hooked her up.
Yeah.
24-year-old Florida woman claims that a Comcast cable installer came to her home and exposed himself instead of installing the cable.
He was laying cable.
After she turned away, she says he began to smile and masturbate at her.
Nice.
See, don't masturbate at me. Masturbate with me. What's wrong with you?
But we know you can't masturbate, Stephanie.
I'm not good at it. I don't find myself attractive. Okay.
Well, you don't masturbate to yourself.
Well, I wasn't doing it right, apparently.
You think about somebody else.
I need the real thing. I can't. It's too sad.
My wife thinks it's group sex if she helps.
Ah, Lord. Florida woman charged with spiking her husband's coffee with the anti-anxiety drug Xanax.
Mm. Mm. That's a bad thing?
Wow.
I know. I do it every morning to Jim. I put Naysay away in his coffee. It calms down.
Obama is always right. There's no reason to criticize him.
It's working.
Everything is going according to plan.
Moving on. Larry in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you gorgeous, sexy hunk of femininity.
Yeah. Hey, all right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
There was a news article 2 weeks ago while you was on vacation here in Florida that one of these crazy right-wing Republicans wants to repeal a law to make it illegal for you to cohabitate if you're not married. Mm. And there'll be a $500 fine levied against you if you're caught living with somebody without a marriage certificate.
Let him try it.
How crazy is this getting?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit crazy. He was doing your Darth Vader impression. Maybe he had his coffee cup too close.
I find your lack of traditional marriage disturbing.
All right, Billy in Tampa, Florida. Hello, Billy.
Hey there, Steph. You know, I mean, we just have all sorts of problems here with Rick's guy, you know, as I like to call him, Governor Baltimore. He's really screwing up our education system is the worst thing about the man. I mean, I've got a few friends that are actually teachers in this state, and, you know, half of them are taking pay cuts, and now they're paying into their retirement fund. You know, most of them were spending that extra 3% they took out of their checks on classroom supplies, but he's not paying them.
Yeah.
I just don't know how we're gonna compete, and, you know, we're losing now in Grayson, left, right, and center. I'm just losing faith in my whole state.
Well, don't lose faith in Alan Grayson. Go to congressmanwithguts.com. And, you know, it is early. Let's not get all dispirited about
the election.
Exactly.
It's over a year away, believe me. So much is going to change between the economy, between 50,000 troops coming home from Afghanistan.
Billy, you know what's more important? And also, Sexy Liberal is coming to Fort Lauderdale on December 10th.
I'm hoping I can get myself over there. You guys got to come by Tampa, though.
There is a convention in Tampa next year.
There is going to be something happening in Tampa with the Sexy Liberals.
I think there might be. But otherwise, come to Fort Lauderdale December 10th. All right. Boy, we are not good at teasing,
no,
are we?
Not at all.
Keith,
tease with a sledgehammer.
Keith in Detroit. Hey, Keith.
How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to comment on your Asheville, the representative said it's the
cesspool of sin.
Yeah, cesspool of sin. I find it funny considering it's got the largest private home in the country. That's the cesspool of sin.
You're talking about John Edwards' house. Biltmore. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know. I'm thinking Raleigh Durham. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like they take the most successful capitalist in the country and say he's stupid because he thinks taxes are too low.
Yeah, I think because I asked yesterday what kind of sin they were talking about, and I guess it was described as homosexual scampery. Of some sort. Yes, all right. Which I'll be bringing all that.
You'll be participating in that, I'm
sure.
Yes,
I'm bringing more. Going to be doing the backstroke in the cesspool of sin in about a week. all right, our friend Eric Boland read a great piece about, they launched this Attack Watch website to combat all these lies, the right-wing lies about the president.
Right.
I love that. So Eric Boland writes, it's not often right-wing bloggers actually disprove their own point so publicly and spectacularly in less than 24 hours, but they managed to do exactly that by whining about Obama re-election initiative to ferret out smear campaigns while they launched a brand new smear campaign against Michelle Obama.
That's right.
I know there's no indication the Obama critics appreciated the deep irony involved. They are irony deficient, as we have learned. This week, we saw the collective freakout over the new Attack Watch website designed to combat smears and lies about the Obama administration. Of course, it was called offensive, sinister, Big Brother, Nazi Germany. You know, same, all the same stuff sure. conservatives usually say. Is Attack Watch necessary? The right-wing blogosphere quickly answered that question by surprise, launching a nasty smear campaign in which bloggers condemned the First Lady based on what they think she said. Yes, lip-reading was the basis for the attack while recently attending a solemn Ground Zero memorial on September 11th.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember what, wasn't that the thing forever? I remember Hannity even saying it was some Whitey video that never existed of Michelle Obama screaming Whitey or so. It just,
right.
It's...
Some people say.
And yes, I did this one yesterday that the president, I don't know if you saw this, it was actually amazing. He awarded the Medal of Honor to this this Marine. And the Marine had asked to meet the president.
Mm-hmm.
And so the president, so he has him over for a beer. The Marine tweets the picture of him having a beer with the president. And then, you know, the right-wing blogosphere makes that, like, oh, the president's, you know.
Grandstanding.
Photo op, blah, blah, blah.
And now the right is upset with Michelle Obama for saying that Olive Garden has now prohibited fries from their children's meals.
Oh, my God.
And now offers free refills of milk in their children's meals.
Oh, my God.
That's what they're going nuts about today.
Mm. Thank God. Someone's standing up for us.
Mm. But what about lactose intolerant people?
Yeah. You will never hear a U.S. president declare war on obesity because it'll cost them half the country.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, we have to do a reading the story. The Medal of Honor went to a guy named Dakota Meyer. Did you hear the story?
Mm-hmm.
He defied orders and barreled straight into a killing zone in Afghanistan to save 36 lives. He charged through heavy insurgent gunfire on 5 trips in an armored Humvee to save 13 Marines and Army soldiers and an additional 23 Afghan troops pinned down by withering enemy fire.
Wow.
It's interesting, too, in the military. You know, they always say you have to follow orders.
Yeah.
And he actually disobeyed an order. As the forward team called for air support that wasn't coming, he begged his command to let him head into incoming fire to help. 4 times he was denied his request, and he just went. He just grabbed another sergeant and went in. And, unbelievable. I don't know many of us would do that. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, we have Celebrity Stack of the Waning Moments of Fridays with Fugle Thang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Is
this song why Ted Nugent has a career?
Yeah, yeah. This was his only hit.
The only rock star to ever flipped off Stephanie on TV.
That's right.
Yes, yes. Hey, Jim, don't you hate it when you find out your wife's having an affair with a Journey's guitarist? I hate when that happens.
Neil Schon? Really?
Especially
yes.
after I report the police that she's missing. That's what
oh,
I really
yeah.
hate.
He reported a kidnapping.
Yes. What's his name? Salahi. The White House party crashers.
Tarek Salahi.
Yes. What's her name? Michelle?
Mikkel.
Mm-hmm. She has been located.
She was a real housewife of D.C.
Yes, it turns out she was not kidnapped, as her husband had feared. She was just having an affair with the Journey guitarist.
Yeah.
She
said to the press, "I'm where I want to be."
Yes, that was my favorite part.
Wow.
The sheriff's office said they had spoken with her, and she was, quote, fine and where she wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. And the more horrible a person you are, the better a chance you have of a career in reality TV.
Yeah, this is embarrassing. I hate when this happens. He alerted the news media yesterday, Salahi, that she may have been kidnapped, abducted, being held under duress, called on the public to be on the lookout for her. It found, oh, this is embarrassing. Please contact the authorities. Please approach her. Contact the authorities. Intervene. She may be forced to say she's okay when, in fact, she's not, and she's being held under possible abduction. I'm fine. I'm just a guitarist from Journey. Leave me alone.
Oh, dear. And the sad thing is it's easier for those people to sneak into the White House than for any of us to get on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. I don't know why. Just because I'm immature, I have to do the gawker. Which celebrity has a serious farting problem? I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Listen, this has my name on it. It's a blind item, so I don't really know. We have a source that works in a high fashion store in Beverly Hills that told us when this D-list model reality star shopped in their store.
Oh, no.
She had such terrible gas, several customers complained about the smell and sound.
Oh,
on two
okay.
different occasions.
Yeah, maybe you need to go stop at a gas station or something on your way to the
store.
Yeah.
To the clothing store. Okay.
Someplace with a public restroom.
Jonathan in Massachusetts.
Can we get back to how horrible the country is?
Yes. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello. I just wanted to say how ironic it seems to me that this Dakota Meyer receives the Medal of Honor for disobeying orders to save his fellow Americans, but yet Ron Paul's willing to let a guy die because he doesn't have health insurance and he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that against some sort of code of some kind?
Yeah. First, yes. Do no socialism.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Exactly. Nixon in Oregon on Ted Nugent. Hello, Nixon.
Hello, my love.
Hello.
Lest we forget, Ted Nugent also threatened Obama on tape with an AK-47, much in a similar fashion to the way that you had been threatened.
Yes, by Sox.
With an
AK-47, right. And yet, curiously, he's not in prison.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And by the way, as I said to Sock, what kind of real American threatens to shove a Russian-made rifle up my hoo-ha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Sock.
Oh, my glory hole. That's
it's
right.
It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
A special friend who's got an AK-47.
See, but if he had an M1, it wouldn't rhyme.
Insurance man.
That was him.
With way too much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock. It's time for song.
See, John, the definition of sexy liberalism. They give us death threats, we give them a jingle.
Yep.
That is the illest jingle you have ever played.
It's like putting the flower in the rifle gun.
I haven't said illest since 1991,
yeah,
but that's
the
illest cut
that
you've ever played on this show.
Well, now I understand why the people of Haiti didn't vote for Wycliffe Jean. He's a huge fan of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I don't believe
she's
he means it.
Rad. Are you still allowed to use that word after 1989 called?
Yeah,
it wants its expression back.
She's
only, rad. She's
only
shrewd.
If you also say illest.
She's shrewd. She's cool. And she's not ill. She's not illin. Apparently,
no.
According to Wycliffe Jean.
Chilling and cooling just like a snowman.
Mm. Oh my gosh, you're quoting Run DMC.
I am.
In 1987.
Yes, I am.
All right, we'll see if John Fugelsang can top this. You know, we've had some stalkerish problems involving John Fugelsang at various times. We'll see what else happens in a sexy liberal show and an upcoming date
after the
unpleasantness in Detroit.
Delicately.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Hal has the hot stalkers. And what do I have again? I wasn't allowed to see my stalker.
She was okay. Something.
Oh, yeah?
Anyway,
she's okay?
She's
in a Middle Earth kind of way.
However, you have not gotten to a Nicolas Cage territory yet. He once found a naked man in his bedroom eating fudgesicles.
Yeah.
Top that.
While wearing his leather jacket and nothing else.
Yes.
Many
years ago, someone broke into his house while he was in bed with his wife. He said it was a naked dude in a leather jacket nibbling on a fudgesicle. I opened my eyes. There was a naked man wearing my leather jacket eating a fudgesicle in front of my bed.
Mm.
You got to give it to him. That's weird even for Nicolas Cage.
Well, and was it Nicolas? Was it? Did the guy bring his own fudgesicle? Because he must not have been there very long.
It was his jacket. I assume it was his fudgesicle, but I don't know.
or is that a euphemism?
Yeah.
What?
Can I make an announcement?
Yes.
I'm going to be appearing on the very first ever episode tomorrow of Chris Hayes' new MSNBC show, Up with Chris Hayes.
Yay!
The first weekend show. So if you tune into MSNBC and you don't see Prison, don't be alarmed.
Don't be alarmed.
It's Chris's new show, and I'll be on the very first episode tomorrow morning. And then, my friends, I'll be appearing live from the Villages in Florida for the 15th anniversary special of Fox and Friends.
Awesome.
Because I was on the first ever episode, and I guess a careless producer has invited me to join them. I hope that Ducey and Kilmeade won't be upset when they see me there, but Rick Scott will be there as well.
Whoa.
And I will do everything I can to destroy his Horcrux. I'll be with Nancy Pelosi tomorrow morning on MSNBC, and then with Rick Scott on Monday on Fox. I'm going to cover the exact spectrum of political morality.
Wow. Jim, and here's something for you. Scarlett Johansson has enlisted the FBI over a nude photo leak. There's some nude photos, so you'll spend the weekend doing that.
And what a leak it was, by the way.
All right.
Magnificent leak.
All right.
Julian Assange has got nothing on this.
Yeah. I thought I had an embarrassing dating history. Yikes. Terry Hatcher, apparently, she does not want us to know that she Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh.
He's trying to sell his book. Whoa. He had a fling with her when they co-starred in a B-movie in 1993.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Yikes.
Terry Hatcher was...
Oh, that was
Terry Hatcher also starred in a Michael Bolton video with Kenny G. So let's throw that
Yikes.
On the pile.
Oh, God. On that note.
On that note. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Check it out. Get your tickets. We will see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Thanks, John.
Bye.